Now, I'm preaching from 1 Kings 12, and I'm also using the parallel, which is 2 Chronicles 10 through 11. So always keep that in mind when we're in these passages in 1 Kings, that there's sometimes some layout going on in 2 Chronicles. Not always, but there is, and there's extra information that we can glean from that, and that's what I do. But this scripture speaks to us on something we all encounter on pretty much a daily basis. It speaks on advice. Seeking advice, just being advised about what to do. And so we all get advice. You get advice, I get advice, whether we want it or not, we get it. And sometimes it's contradictory advice. Sometimes it's bad advice. Sometimes it's good. But we encounter this all the time. And what we want is for the advice to be good. Well, there's a good principle for assessing it. And essentially, good advice has good, godly reasons behind whatever it is. And it's a simple principle, but it's very needed for sifting through all of this stuff in the advice category for general safety. So prepare your heart for this sermon. Identify good advice by its good reasons. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you bless us with your word to learn from it. I ask that we have the mind of Christ as we take in and as you feed us, and we assimilate this, digest it, assimilate it, becomes part of it, and we live it for your glory. And I ask that I preach accurately the truth in Jesus' name to glorify you. Amen. Now, the setting for our visual verse illustration on identifying good advice by its good reasons is ancient Israel directly after King Solomon died. So kind of put your mind's eye back there, Middle Eastern, deserty area, 3,000 years ago or so. God was not happy with King Solomon during the last years of his life. We are told Solomon's heart was not devoted to God. Solomon rejected the advice of God. And Solomon had made places of false worship for all of his hundreds of pagan wives. So the Lord told Solomon he's going to tear the kingdom from Solomon, and he's going to give it to Solomon's servant, which was General Jeroboam. But God said he would not tear away all the kingdom, so God said he's going to give one tribe to Solomon's son, Rehoboam. Now, I'm going to be using both of these people's names throughout this, so let's get this right. Rehoboam sounds a little bit like Jeroboam. Rehoboam is Solomon's son. Jeroboam is the servant commander that God chose to take half the kingdom. All right? So God sends this prophet, Ahijah. He's sent out to go advise General Jeroboam about God's plan. Ahijah told Jeroboam about God tearing apart the kingdom and then giving some of it to him from Solomon. And Ahijah surprised Jeroboam with this information. He says, you're going to rule some of the tribes. And King Solomon was so consumed with sin and rebellion against God that he tried to kill Jeroboam, the man that God called. So Jeroboam flees to Egypt. And then later, King Solomon dies. And so now, 1 Kings 12, this is the timing directly after King Solomon's death. And we find Solomon's son Rehoboam called all Israel to go out and meet at a location, a place called Shechem. And what Rehoboam wanted to do is inaugurate himself to be the next king. And now, we're not told how many people knew, but evidently others knew about Ahijah prophesying to General Jeroboam that he would also be king. So those people sent for Jeroboam to come back from Egypt. And so all Israel, they went out to meet Solomon's son, Rehoboam. And while there, the people were not quick to accept Rehoboam as king. They confronted him. And they advised Rehoboam about something which had been simmering, something which had finally boiled over. They said this, "Your father Solomon made our burden hard. Now therefore, lighten the hard service of your father and his heavy burden which he put on us, and we will serve you." Well, Rehoboam didn't know what to do about this reaction from the masses. Everyone's basically giving Rehoboam the kind of advice, you know, that has conditions for actions. And so now the wisdom question for us, was this good advice or bad advice? Because that's the same question Rehoboam is faced with right there. And basically what they said was this, because of this oppressive problem, you need to meet the conditions we require to be met for you to be the king that we are going to serve. Now, this was unusual. The king usually tells the people what to do. But when we consider those people, we must understand what they understood. It's what Rehoboam needed to understand. He was not yet the king. And they were truly worn out people. They had been oppressed with what big government does to the governed, especially all this grandiose labor and this taxation and these spending pursuits of Rehoboam's father Solomon. And so they're making a request for much more than change. Now think about this. This is much more than change. They were making a request for a much better relationship with their king, the king of God's people. You see, with a better relationship, they wanted a much better life serving him as they serve Yahweh. This is the Israelite people of the old covenant through Abraham and Moses. Now, it had gotten to the point that they didn't think it was worth it to go through all this excessively burdensome labor and taxation anymore just to garnish the kingdom with government's whims of ambition. Now, looking at their advice, we see it was reasonable. Basically, it was easy to do and sensible. So we can say it was reasonable in that respect. It contained that element that we're looking for to guide us. Good reasons. Your father made our burden hard. Now, therefore, lighten the hard service of your father and his heavy burden, which he put on us, and we will serve you. We'll do what you want. And so the reasons are good. And yes, the people were truly ready to serve. And something else about this, it also aligned with God's prophetic calling of exiled Jeroboam to someday be a second king. Now, remember, God had already prophetically said 10 tribes were going to end up serving Jeroboam anyway. And God said only a minority in Judah was going to serve Rehoboam. So what the people said, if you look at it, it was also godly in a sense. So you look at this, everyone's there, and Rehoboam seemingly ignored the issue of Jeroboam's coming back up from Egypt to fulfill God's prophetic word. And not expecting this advice, not keeping his mind and heart in tune with what God had already said. You know, Rehoboam, he doesn't know what to do, so he just tells everybody to leave for now, then come back in 3 days. So everyone goes. They leave. Now, Rehoboam wanted to figure out whether their advice and reasons were good, whether their condition to serve him as their king was a good, reasonable one, easy to do, sensible. We're looking at these types of things because we're looking at advice. Should he continue making their burden hard, not lighten it? Just go forward, take up position as their king anyway. So the next thing Rehoboam did was consult with the elders who had served his father Solomon while he was still alive. Now, it's wise to consult the wisdom of experienced men. A voice of experience is not always right. It's not always godly, but it's a wise route to pursue to get advice. I do it all the time. Go to people that seem to be experts, people that are experienced, get advice. It's a very good route to take. If you consult the voice of experience, make sure to look for the reasons behind the advice, though. This is what this is about. Are they good reasons? Are they godly? And since the reasons are as important as the actual advice, look to see if there's any reasonable, easy to do, and sensible thing about it. Is it godly? Is it reasonable? So Rehoboam asks, and he asks these men who had firsthand experience on the governing side of what the people were pointing out, how do you advise me to answer this people? What do you say? Well, according to 1 Kings with 2 Chronicles, remember, we're using both, they told him, if you will be a servant to this people today and will serve them and grant them their petition and be kind to them, listen to this, and please them and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants forever. Well, this is amazing advice. It was good, it's godly, and it's very reasonable. And it actually, for us, we understand it matches the example of Jesus. I mean, it's the leadership way that Christ Jesus did. Expresses what? It expresses love. Love. It operates in love. You know, the best advice for how you should deal with God's people is to follow the way of the love of God for his people, right? And for us, it's to show Christian love to our brothers and sisters. Very unique. Christian love. It's the greatest gift. It's the greatest commandment. Love and kindness are described as fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22. Well, for Rehoboam, this wise, godly advice was to show brotherly love and shepherding kindness for his fellow Israelite covenant people of God. And what this requires is dying to selfish motives of grandeur and living for the greater good of God's people. And to do it is not too difficult. It's reasonable for any of us. It doesn't matter if you're in a king's position. And it's no wonder that Proverbs 19:22 is translated accurately in two ways. Some translations put it, what is desirable in a man is his kindness. Other translations put, what is desirable in a man is steadfast love. The Hebrew means both. And so for Rehoboam, going to these elders was very wise, and they were wise. They had experience. They understood how everything stood now that Solomon had overreached his power to excessively burden the people. They saw the bigger picture of the benefits of kindness and steadfast love. So the good, godly reason for their advice was that they were discerning that such a loving approach from the king would lead to the people willingly serving him out of the same thing, which is love. Love bringing love. But there's one problem in their advice. It was not the best advice. Why? Well, what they should have told Rehoboam was that God had already told both his father and Jeroboam through the prophet that Rehoboam was only to rule over one tribe of Israel, which, by the way, there's some technicalities there. The Benjamites followed. Rehoboam was a Benjamite, so the Benjamites were there in Judah, but it all works out. All the other tribes belong to Jeroboam now. But here's the thing. The elders didn't say that. They gave wise counsel in the sense of classic wisdom on relationships. That would have endeared the people to Rehoboam. But even so, God's plan could not be thwarted. And so rejecting the classic wisdom of their advice, when you got to look at this, it says, Rehoboam forsook the counsel of the elders and consulted with the young men who grew up with him and served him. Now, the description of that second group is very key. They were young, meaning they were inexperienced. They had immature opinions. They also knew Rehoboam in a close way of growing up with him. They also served him. So here's what they are. They're essentially peers, friends, but friends who knew that Rehoboam was always the boss in the relationship. So, you know, Rehoboam goes to these young guys. He knows they're not going to question him. They're going to think more about the kind of advice which would appeal to his sense of self-esteem. And then that's the kind of advice, whether good or bad, they're going to give. And so this description clues us into this being more than likely why Rehoboam went to these guys directly after the leaders, the elders, advised him to go the humble love route. So forsaking the love route, the counsel of the elders, to go and consult with the young men he grew up with was a recipe for bad advice. And bad advice was exactly the dish that Rehoboam got. So Rehoboam told those guys what the people said. Here's what he says to these young guys. Lighten the burden which your father put on us. So he asks, how do you advise me to answer them? Well, 2 Chronicles clarifies. It says, how do you advise that we answer them? That's what's in the 2 Chronicles. It emphasizes we, showing that Rehoboam was entrusting his young peers to voice their opinion with co-governing importance. And so we get the idea Rehoboam was just looking for accomplices to justify what he already wanted to do. Be very careful if you're looking for advice, and that's the route you're taking. See, those young peers were not caring for Israel like God wanted. They cared about their own selfishness, their own interests. They're guys who actually needed sound advice themselves. Now, their advice to Rehoboam reflected it. It was not good. It was not godly. And it says the young men who grew up with Rehoboam told him this. Tell this people who spoke to you, saying, your father made our burden heavy, now make it lighter for us, that my little finger is thicker than my father's loins. Whereas my father loaded you with a heavy burden, I will add to your burden. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions. What? I mean, this is horrible advice. And they had reasons for coming up with this advice. People who give you advice are always going to tell you they have reasons. But the point is, what are the reasons? These were not good reasons they had. So what were they? They were unreasonable. Always look at the reasons. Analyze why the advice is being given. With them, the only good that we can detect in this was that in the sovereign background, God's at work. You see, their advice was mysteriously intertwined with God's fulfilling his prophetic word through the events. And we're going to see how that works out. I mean, you can just imagine, right? So 3 days later, Jeroboam and all the people came back to meet Rehoboam at Shechem. And it says, Rehoboam answered the people harshly. He forsook the wisdom of the elders. Instead, he spoke to all the people according to the bad advice of the young men. And he told them, my father made your burden heavy, But I will add to your burden, my father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions. And so it says, Rehoboam did not listen to the people. Very important. So if he would have truly listened to the people, he would have seen that their advice was backed by good reasons. He would have also realized that the people had told him what the consequences would be. If he did not back off from the excessive burdening, they will not serve him. If you do, we will serve you. And now he had foolishly threatened them with more oppression according to bad advice. Scorpions? Come on. But no matter what advice was given, the unseen hand of God was always at work. God allowed all this so that his best advice would prevail. And it says, Rehoboam did not listen to the people because it was a turn of events from the Lord. So that, always look for the so that's, so that the Lord would establish his word spoken through the prophet Ahijah to Jeroboam. And so when all Israel recognized that Rehoboam did not listen to them, the people said, as would be expected, what portion do we have in your grandfather David? We have no inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your homes, O Israel. Now look after your own house, David. They're basically saying, adios. And so all Israel left. And more than likely, most of them recognized that God's word to Jeroboam was being fulfilled that day. Second Chronicles says they all left but the tribe of Judah. Only the Israelites in the cities of Judah remained under Rehoboam's reign and Benjamites. And this is what happened that God said was going to happen. But King Rehoboam evidently didn't want to accept either God's prophecy or how thorough the break was that had just happened. So Rehoboam, I mean, they're out there. These people are just leaving. Big mass exodus. Rehoboam sends his tax collector out after the people. His name is Adoram, also known as Adoniram. He's both. Adoniram was also boss over the forced labor, so they knew who he was. But instead of going out and getting money and stones from all the people to build the king's projects, all Israel gave Adoniram a stoning to death. And Rehoboam finally saw that they were doing just as they said they were going to do. And he finally saw that God's prophecy was always true. So he gets on his chariot and he runs to Jerusalem. He's not happy. And foolishly, he still thought that he could change providence. He decided to lash out at everyone. So Rehoboam got men together to attack the other Israelites. And you think about how he got to this point. Listening to all this bad advice and doing it, rejecting good advice. Particularly the best advice, not believing the Lord. So here he is, and he still thinks that he can rule everyone. He had 180,000 warriors fully armed, ready to go. And so the picture is that Rehoboam ignored good advice to follow bad advice, and he needed to quit trying to advance his ungodly ambition for what God said was not going to happen. Anytime you seek advice, don't be trying to advance your particular agenda through it all. Listen to what is from God, okay? Not what you're trying to push it into. And so what he needed to do is rule the part of the kingdom left to him by God. And just move on. He needed to start seeking the will of the Lord, like he should. This is the best advice, has the best reasons. And you know the Lord's will is always the best advice, which always has the best reasons. You know everything God determines and says for you to do is right. You know his will for you is always best. Don't argue with it. That's what he was doing. And you can find direction after direction in the Bible. I mean, it's there. It's there. And it's waiting for you. I mean, sometimes you need to be reminded of what it is. Paul the Apostle said that the teaching the same truths of God's word over and over again, he says it's a safeguard for you. Well, think about that. The Spirit says you need to be taught over and over again, reminded. Guess what? That means me too. I need to be taught over and over and over again, every single day, Pastor Kerry, over and over. I need to be reminded, taught. It's a safeguard for me. It's a safeguard for you. And in another place, Paul spoke of the necessity of needing to be reminded with God's word. And so you know your life right now. I can't get into your life events and analyze everything, but you know what it is. The Holy Spirit knows what it is. You know what you've been going through. You also know about advice. You're getting advice from various sources. Well, just think about what it is. First, Analyze the advice from the governing truth of God's word. Always go back to God's word. It is a faith issue. But are you going to put faith in just empty advice or in God's word? And then look at the reasons for the advice that you're getting. God's word's always there to advise you, even on the reasons. It reminds you the best route to take for life and godliness. Same way for Rehoboam. Now, as they're about to go out to this huge slaughter of God's people fighting against God's people, can you imagine? Sounds like a lot of churches. As they're about to go do this, the word of God came to the prophet Shemaiah. God said, speak to Rehoboam and the people. Okay, now God's word's in the picture again. Say, thus says the Lord, you must not go up and fight against your relatives, the sons of Israel. Return every man to his house because this thing has come from me, the Lord. That's the reminder. And so God steps in. He directly tells Rehoboam and his people the best way to proceed. And God also did something else. He gave the best reason. Because this thing has come from me. All this is because of the Lord. You see, it wasn't new. God pointed back to what people already knew, to what he already told Rehoboam's father, to what he already told General Jeroboam. So, like you're told of the necessity of being reminded, you know, it's a safeguard. The Spirit gives us a safeguard. We see they needed reminding too. And we're told what happened. It says in 1 Kings and 2 Chronicles, so they listened to the words of the Lord and returned from going against Jeroboam according to the word of the Lord. Well, finally, after all this drama, Rehoboam follows the best advice with the best reasons. Now, what I've found happening over and over again when it comes to life issues is that there is advice given to me at every turn, everywhere I look. Right now, we got the political landscape firestorm going on, right? And you'd read, you're getting advice preached at you, right? You advertisements preached at you. No matter, it's just advice. And now that you see that most of the media is taking sides, the corrupt media, you're getting advice from them. You're not just getting news reports. And so what's happening is so much of it just sounds right. See? So much of it sounds like the perfect route to take. And some advice is so convincing. And the reason is, it's because the one giving it is a convincer. You know, it's just they're able to convince people. That's what salespeople are like. And so what I need to do in such cases is completely the opposite of the bad approach that Rehoboam took. All of us need to go into the opposite direction of the bad approach of Rehoboam. First, I need to start with what God has already said. That is the foundation. Must always be your priority. If that's not your priority, you're already off kilter. See? You're not living the way God wants you to live. And if God has spoken into a situation about what to do, then take the best route for you to take according to God. Stick with that. And then you're going to see that all the other areas out there exist, and sometimes they need clarity. There are situations I run into that are not expressly addressed in Scripture. And we all have all that kind of thing going on. It's so much, it's not, you open your Bible, this type of thing is just not right there, but the principles, there's principles there on practically every page. God has me go to 1 Kings and 2 Chronicles, and I'm reading this, and he's giving me principles. And so sticking with what God has already said, if I need to get advice on those other kinds of issues that are everywhere, well, what I need to do is I need to make sure it's wise and that it stays godly. Now, here's an example. The elders in our story represent authorities who probably have good answers. So I need to go to the authorities. They're at the top of the line. You know, they're people with a lot of experience, especially those who show that their experience has brought them success. They are people to consult, especially spiritually wise people. But even then, even when I get advice from those kinds of people, what else do I need to do? I need to look at their reasons. You know, something that happens all the time is that authorities who probably have good answers will disagree with authorities who probably have good answers. You know, all sides can sound right. So look at the reasons. We saw that over and over through this. Weigh everything. Rehoboam was given reasons by experts. The first experts were all the people. They explained their oppression they were tired of bearing for ambitious kings. They're saying, we don't mind serving you. We will serve you forever. We don't mind some burden. It's the way of kings with kingdoms. It's just that your father overdid it. They knew more about the reasons for what they were saying than someone trying to apply their own theory for what the reasons might be. Experts. And then the elders gave reasons and their advice. Just be a nice, understanding, loving guy. I mean, can you do that? You do that for everyone, and they will serve you forever. And so, if you start getting advice from someone like a friend, or anyone for that matter, if they don't have a good reason for what they're saying, then just put their advice on hold. But stay with the highest principle all the time. Weigh everything to see whether it's expressly against God's word in the whole process. God's word governs all advice. And this also goes for preaching and teaching. Good spiritual advice has good reasons for it to be given and accepted, to even be taught, shared, counseled, preached. So when you hear it, look at it in these ways. Look to see if it's governed by God's word. Look for the reason in respect to how it connects to God's word. That one may be harder, but it should be accurately representing the truths of God. I mean, this area is so important because the things said in preaching and teaching which claim to represent the truth of God are things which drive the beliefs and the actions of other people. Very important. You don't want to believe something or do something that drives your life to be going along in error. Well, these types of principles are how I'm thinking when I preach. I don't want to give a bunch of advice unless there's good, sound biblical reasoning for it. So I'm going verse by verse through God's word, and I'm looking for the advice message and the reason for it at the same time. You follow what I'm saying? I'm looking to find the advice message that edifies and builds up, and also the reason for it at the same time, the principle, the biblical principle, the imperative and what they call the indicative and the imperative. It's never one without the other. Never one without the other. So my urging to all of us is to do this. Seek for the good advice. You know it when you see it. It's the advice that's full of the good reasons for whatever it is. Amen?